Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. Not a lot to recap necessarily as Michigan State gets a de facto bye week thanks to Maryland's COVID cases surging, including head coach Mike Locksley. But Michigan did have a barn burner in Piscataway, and look, triple overtime against Rutgers is not really what a lot of people see as a good performance, but there was some good out of it. Well, we weren't able to figure out who Michigan State's starting quarterback is for the future, whether that be Rocky Lombardi or Peyton Thorne. Maryland was supposed to be the eye test on that one. We may have an answer as to who Michigan quarterback is, and it's not Joe Milton.
Yeah, and what a slap to my face. A guy who has really been in Joe Milton's corner myself. It just hasn't worked. It hasn't worked out for him. I don't think we should speak too poorly about him because he actually didn't play terribly against Michigan State. No. Against Indiana, he obviously had a couple terrible decisions but had a couple nice throws. It hasn't been like he's just awful. It hasn't been a Rocky Lombardi situation where he just fell off the face of the earth.
Right.
But he's just not the guy right now, and it's sad because I think that he's got a lot of athletic tools. I think he's a little step behind as far as reading the defense, and I think Cade McNamara has been absolutely outstanding at reading the defenses. I mean, he comes in against Wisconsin and just lights up the scoreboard in his first drive, so you're thinking, okay, maybe they just didn't know who this kid was, and then he comes in against Rutgers and really does the same thing, so you know, he's a bigger Shea Patterson. I mean, that's really what he is, with a little bit of a better touch. And it's just a guy who makes quicker decisions. And in this offense, Tyler, I told you, you have to make quick decisions. You got to make quick throws. You have to make quick reads. And I think Joe Milton's struggling in that offense, whereas he probably would be better off in a pro set offense, shockingly. So let's see. We'll see what happens. I mean, this isn't over yet, but it's definitely leaning towards McNamara as a starter.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing is this is a receiver-heavy offense. I know they still like to run the ball a lot. And, you know, obviously I'm a Haskins bandwagon, but you've got to throw it to the receivers in space, and that space closes the more Milton holds on to the ball. You also got to throw in the fact that, you know, beyond 12, 13 yards, he's not the most accurate guy. And so that takes away a lot of big play opportunities. And McNamara, you know, to this point, has been able to hit it. Now that film is starting to go out on him, we'll see if he's able to maintain that level of play. You know, because that's the thing is, even one half against Wisconsin, you know, you don't see the whole shebang, you know, so to speak. You don't see everything that's going to throw at you with a new quarterback. So I think it's a situation where we'll see if the tape comes out. But look, to this point, you know, you do what's in front of you, and McNamara is doing it to the fullest, and he's definitely taking advantage of this opportunity. You know, I think he's the guy moving forward because, you know, you're only going to learn more about these quarterbacks the longer they play, whether it be Milton or McNamara. And right now, McNamara is better. That's just the way it is. And I think that's the route that, you know, the Wolverines are starting to realize that they need to go. And I think it's case closed right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern I have, I mean, when you mentioned the tape thing, I think the kid throws a lot of different balls very well. I mean, he can throw the slant well. He can throw the quick routes well. He can throw the deep ball well. I don't think there's anything that you'll find on film besides, wow, he can pretty much make every throw. So it's just the fact is what's going to happen when, you know, you're playing against press coverage and you're getting pressured, because he got a little bit of pressure and he was able to do pretty well with it. But what are you going to do when you get it's right in your face? And, you know, are you going to be able to elude some pressure? And are you going to be able to, you know, still make some throws? You know, I think Milton did get away from defenders a little bit, you know, well, especially against Michigan State. I mean, he really was able to elude defenders. and he got loose on the edge, and he was allowed for, allowed him to make a throw or get close to a first down. I think that would be the only concern with McNamara, because everything else looks great. I mean, he can throw the, the deep ball well, the quick slant well, those quick little bubble screens, or I like to call them jet screens. The receiver going in motion, they like to just throw it to him real quick or throw it to the running back. He gets it out right away. So, we'll see. I mean, Rutgers is terrible though, so I'm not going to get really excited. But the fact that he makes the right decisions was really nice to see. But my gosh, on another topic, the defense is just bad. I mean, we cannot stop anybody, and we still have such a terrible time getting to the quarterback. And I think that's going to be the demise of this year's team, as far as why I think they'll have a losing record. They just aren't playing very well defensively.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing, the good news for them, and this is, you talked about a slap to your face earlier. Here's a slap to mine. The Big Ten sucks this year. And I'd say for the past 5, 6 years, they've been top to bottom the toughest conference in college football. Does that mean that they have the best talent? No, well, that's the SEC. Does that mean that they have the best, top tier in regards to their teams playing? No, that's also the SEC. But when you looked from Ohio State to Rutgers, the Big Ten was the best for the last, maybe even further than that. Maybe even further than the last 5 years, like I said earlier. So that's the good news for Michigan, and that's the good news for Mac. Starts with, I'd say, the biggest surprise of the Big Ten, which is Penn State and their goose egg in the win column. That starts Saturday. We'll break that down as well as Michigan State Northwestern later. But look, here's the deal. You can get football coverage wherever you want. It's the biggest sport in America. Me and Jeremy are basketball guys. And as the producers and creators and so-called quote unquote talent of this show, we can talk whatever we want. And I want to talk some freaking basketball right now. As
Thank
the
God.
season tips off on Turkey Day for Michigan State, not too much of a challenge in Eastern Michigan, but look, we kind of looked around, we looked at the schedules and everything else. I know the center position's kind of up in the air for both schools, so we'll hit you with, you know what, Jeremy, you're starting five for Michigan, because I know that there are a lot of old faces and new places, so to speak, in regards to their transfers and everything else. Run through Michigan's starting five and what that looks like.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. I've been kind of going back and forth with a couple different guys, but I do think that they'll start Austin Davis at the five because of his experience, and I just don't think Hunter Dickinson is ready. I think at the four, the three and four are kind of interchangeable. I think you'll see Wagner and Livers there, and then I think that you're going to see a three-man rotation in this starting lineup, where I think you're going to see Mike Smith and Eli Brooks probably start off the year, and I think you'll see Shondre Brown slowly but surely come in and take one of those spots. So, Brown is definitely your sixth man right now, being new to the program. I don't know if this is for sure, but I'm pretty much positive. I think this is what it will be. So they want to go with this smaller guard lineup, but you got great size in the front court. I think you'll see a lot of Brandon Johns coming in. You'll see a lot of Shondre Brown coming right in. I think that starting lineup will change. I don't think they'll play both small guards the whole year. I think they're trying to figure out who do they want to start at the point, and then you can play a little bigger if Brown's a starter.
Obviously Michigan State's a little easier to right now. Watts is probably a gimme. I mean, as far as those kind, press conferences and things of that nature go, he's, he's still kind of bullish on Lawyer. But I'm obviously, I think Watts is the point guard, and Watts actually said some things the other day that we'll talk about here in a second. Jeremy Langford's at the two, Aaron Henry's at the three. Those are obvious. Joey Hauser at the four, also obvious. The five, they're going to start with Bingham. That's what I'm saying. They're going to start with Bingham. I think ultimately, though, you need a guy like Bingham who can come off the bench, because when you look at that rotation that involves Hauser and that involves Bingham, you give yourself a little bit more offense with that type of a group, assuming Bingham ever has potential, that is. But then when you cut it to the bench, you're looking at Marble and Sissoko or Kithier, and that leads to more of a, you don't get a lot of points off of that group. You're not going to get a lot of points off of Lawyer. You're not going to get a lot of points. You might get some off of Gabe Brown. You'll probably get a bit from Malik Hall, but there's not enough scoring on this bench, I think, to roll with Bingham the entire year as a starter. I think you got to look at Marble maybe as your starting five, then have Bingham as your backup four with Sissoko, and that gives you incredible length with your second group as well. But I think Bingham starts out the year, as the starting center. Talk about what I said earlier. Watts said this offense is going to be faster because, look, he's faster than Cassius Winston. And, that's not really a knock on Winston. Everyone knows Winston wasn't the athlete. That's why he fell to where he did in the draft, despite incredible off-the-ball defense. And obviously one of the better shooters in the draft, and probably the best playmaker. But look, is that a little bit of a cause for concern, considering the fact that this unit, they need to be a little more defensive-minded, because Watts, Langford, and Henry have the potential to shut down any other three backcourt players in the country.
Yeah, no, I think defense is going to be the calling card for this team. I think they'll struggle offensively just because Cassius really dominated the ball so much. And yeah, I mean, his statement on the offense being faster, I think they'll move it around more. I think it'll be moved, quick. And I think with his speed in the open floor, then maybe there's a little more explosion. But really, I mean, I think Cassius Winston was probably the only guy they felt confident with that could make plays for himself and others. And I think this year they're hoping that they can move the ball around and allow a lot of guys to do that. Not the same way, not as much ball screen. I think this is going to be a time as a team that is predicated on hard screens, down screens, getting your wings in a little bit of, space, and, let's push the ball up the floor with the pass and get out on the run and get some dunks. I think that's what they're going to really be. Tom Izzo has been that way forever. I think it'll be a very aggressive defensive team. I think that they will be all over you in the backcourt. And I think that they just have to rebound well. I mean, you lose Tillman, that's a huge loss. So as long as they can stay out of foul in the front court, I think that they're going to be really hard to beat because of the defense in the backcourt. I mean, with Henry Langford and Watts, those are three guys that, like you said, Tyler, can really lock down. So I think what they'll have lacking as far as a leader offensively, they'll have three leaders on defense. So, I mean, that's really, really tough. I mean, it's hard to lose someone like Tillman, but look at Bingham can block shots. We know Sissoko looked great in high school, and I think he'll step in. Marble's a good defender. Malik Hall at times is a pretty solid defender, and Hauser is a two-way guy, really. So, I mean, I think they're going to be just fine. And, you're right, Tyler. This should be an outstanding
Yeah,
defensive
and
team.
you don't really have that go-to guy, though. Izzo loves to use his fours kind of as playmakers, or his he'll use a big as a playmaker, because he used Tillman, who was a five last year, but he was a four the years prior too. Kind of uses them as playmakers. I think that fits Joey Hauser's game incredibly well.
Yeah.
I think it's a situation where, we just cannot see that drop off. When you shoulder the load on offense, can it translate to defense? And, Michigan State had Appling as, a premier lockdown guy as a freshman, and then the next year they moved him over to point guard, and he kind of fell off defense. And I think we might see a little bit of regression as far as Watts. It's just if he can keep that consistency, if he does, got an opportunity to compete for the Big Ten championship. And we'll talk about that in a second. I looked at the schedules this morning. I had you look at the schedule. It's kind of easy to predict when Michigan State's first loss is going to happen. It's going to be December 1st. It's
Yeah.
going to be at, that neutral site, Cameron Indoor Stadium, for the Champions Classic against Duke. Opportunity to beat Virginia, though, just because of the way Virginia plays. When you speed up offenses like Watts has been talking about, good defensive teams, sometimes they can't keep up. Virginia is one of those teams who may not be able to, but at the same time, good defensive teams can also cause a few headaches. And so we'll break that down a little bit more in regards to the Hauser Bowl. The first game, though, that Michigan State is going to be Duke. Michigan's schedule, though, on the other hand, is incredibly, incredibly soft until the middle of January. It's just incredibly soft till the middle of January. You have the local schools that everybody's trying to play because you can't really push that too much further with the COVID situation and all those preseason tournaments getting stopped. Look, middle of January, they play NC State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Middle of January, though, it's Wisconsin, and that's the first ranked team, preseason ranked team, anyways, that they're going to
At
see.
home, yeah, at
Yeah.
home.
But then at the end of the year, seven of their last eight games are against ranked teams in the preseason, top 25. The one team that is not, Indiana. And so they could legitimately lose their last eight games of the season. But at the same time, they could go undefeated till the middle of January. You're like, what do you make of that schedule?
Well, I mean. I don't think we need to not get too carried away yet because, I mean, let's just be honest, COVID has really changed a lot of things. I mean, I think we thought Minnesota and football was going to be so good. We thought Penn State was so talented. Look what happened with a couple injuries and look how unprepared those teams are. We have no idea, Tyler. Let's just be honest. I mean, I think that we have a kind of a clue on who will be really good, but I don't think we really know just how good teams like Purdue will be, Indiana, how good is Rutgers really going to be? I mean, they were pretty good last year. There's no home court advantage in
Well,
all these
Geo
games.
Baker has like 20 years of experience there too, so that's got to help Rutgers.
So I think the big thing we could get out of all this makes the Big Ten really tough, and that's taken out is the home court. You know, I mean, you go to the Breslin now. What does it matter? You know, I mean, yeah, you could pump, pump some crowd noise in, but it's nothing. No one cares anymore. It's not going to hurt anybody's mentality. There's going to be no pressure. You go into Chrysler Center. I mean, it's already not that loud. It's really not going to be nothing there now. So this is going to come down to who's most prepared, who takes advantage of every moment in practice, who comes out and plays the best basketball. It's amazing because I actually enjoyed the bubble in the NBA. I just thought it was kind of fun to just watch the players, because I'm such a basketball guy. But, I will miss the crazy crowd. I enjoy the Breslin Center jumping. I enjoy the Chrysler Center jumping. I enjoy a road win. When you go to Carver Hawkeye, and you get out with a win, it's just incredible feeling. That's not how we're going to have it this year. So as far as expectations, Tyler, on how many games and boy, I got to see a few games first because I just have no idea what it's going to look like. And I think this whole first month or so, and then when we get to Wisconsin, I think I have a really good clue on just how good Michigan is because they are playing some teams that will be quote unquote considered lesser, But I have no idea what's going to happen after that. I mean, I just want to see what they do the first few weeks, what they do the whole first month, and then I can kind of evaluate. But it's tough. It's tough to make any prediction right now. I'll say that.
Well, that sucks for you because I want your prediction on where these teams end up in the Big Ten right now.
Well, I still have like my mind made up. I guess I was more quoting the last eight games. I have no idea if they're gonna lose all eight games or look,
I said could.
I think yeah, I mean I think Michigan State is a team that, you know, is gonna be a top three team. You know, I think it will come down to them, Iowa and Illinois. I think, you know, they're just too tough. You know, it's just a program built on toughness. I do think that, you know, I don't know what's going on in East Lansing. You could probably answer this, Tyler. Well, what's the deal with Izzo? I know he had been out for a little bit.
He had
I
COVID.
guess
He's
he's back
fine.
now.
Yeah, he's fine. He.
So they're, will that hurt them at the beginning? I don't know. If I mean he, I think they'll be fine. I mean, he missed a few practices or however that worked. I think it's a top three team in the Big Ten, and I think Michigan will finish, you know, five or
Yeah.
six. So I guess for now, I'll say Michigan State three, and I think Illinois and Iowa are just a little too talented right
Yeah.
now. But and Iowa's got experience that's just great, and Illinois kind of does too. But Michigan, I think, is going to surprise some people with that 5 and 6 number. I think they'll be kind of, you know, competing against the Wisconsins of the world, the Ohio States. You know, Minnesota may be a little better this year, but they're just not very well coached. So, you know, I think your top five teams, in my opinion, are, you know, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan State, and I'll just put Wisconsin at four, and I think Michigan or Ohio State will be five or six. So that's just kind of where I'm at right now. Rutgers, I think, is so good, but again, I just don't think they're ready to make that jump. I think Rutgers is kind of in that 5, 6, 7 as well. I just don't think that they're better than the Wisconsins, the Michigan States, Iowa, Illinois.
No.
So the last thing I'll say is I do think Michigan, Rutgers, and Ohio State are all kind of similar. They all could be really good. Rutgers is the most talented team, them and Ohio State, of all those.
Most
But
experienced.
I just don't think, yeah, most experienced. I just don't think, you know, they'll make that turn. And I do think Michigan, you know, Livers is huge. Livers is big for them. And Wagner, you know, is good enough where they should still be right there.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. You could probably swap Wisconsin, Michigan State in that 3 and 4 spot, but Izzo does get a couple tune-ups before Duke gets an opportunity. Eastern Michigan on Thursday, Notre Dame on Saturday, and God, you know what? I cannot wait to remind these people down here that there is so much more to football. There is so much more to life than football, rather, and I'm looking forward to throwing that in their face again. It's a big name, and so I think it's an interesting game to try to get up for, just a couple days after Thanksgiving, against a team that kind of fell off the map a little bit, but still kind of brings that name brand to the extent. They fell off the map since what was it, like 2016, 2017? So I think this is an opportunity for Michigan State to get a little confidence going forward. Three ACC teams within the first couple weeks of the schedule is brutal, with Duke and Virginia being the other two. But look, I think this is a state team that they can win two of those three games. I think that they'll finish about that 3 or 4 spot. Iowa with Garza, just too tough to guard without Tillman. Bingham could get bullied by him easily again. And so I think it's a situation where Sissoko needs to come along. And if he does, and if they get reliable backup point guard play, then you're a championship contender, national championship contender. Until then, you're just competing for the Big Ten in my
Well,
mind.
Jordan Bohannon, I want to say this real quick. Jordan Bohannon will be back at Iowa to a point guard. That's just
Yeah.
huge. I mean, this is a 3-year starter that would have been a 4-year starter. Iowa's loaded. I mean, Weiskamp, Garza,
Pencil
Bohannon.
looks good
I mean,
last
they've been
year,
around there
like.
for 15 years. Yeah, you know, the coach's son, fantastic. You know, they're just loaded, and they just play so well together. And they're just a very good basketball team, and they were very good last
Iowa
year.
basketball and Iowa football kind of coincide a little bit in that they'll take 4 years off, but then there's always that 1 year where they're real, excuse me, that they're really, really, really good and a legit contender. This is that year for Iowa basketball. And I, like I said,
They're excited too. They're very excited.
if Sissoko is develops and there's solid point guard play, I think Michigan State can jump the, potentially the Wisconsin team. Like I said, they'll be three or four. They can jump Illinois, and then they'll obviously tell Iowa to go shuck themselves. So I think that that's a good chance for Michigan State. Like, but it really depends, like I said, on your if Sissoko develops, so you can have a big that can guard Garza and Coburn. And if you get back a point guard play, so it's the two freshmen, Hoggard and Sissoko, that I think are really going to tell us if this team is a national championship contender. Otherwise, like I said, you'll compete for the Big Ten. You could go to the Sweet. You'll probably go to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. But I think anything more than that, you're going to need those two to step up. And we'll break all that down a little bit later. We'll preview this weekend's games. Michigan State plays an undefeated Northwestern team. Michigan plays a winless Penn State team. You kind of thought those numbers would flip. We'll break all that down a little later and also take a look back at Michigan State's first game against Eastern Michigan and, see if we can see any difference based upon what we've been talking about. But that does it for us on Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Jeremy File, I'm Tyler Hayward.